Welcome back to Dealing Together. First caller?
I bought 3 sweaters to get the 4th free.
Oh, you got fleeced. Next caller?
I traded my old Samsung at AT&T for a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus and chose my plan.
That's not a bad deal.
It is not.
Our best smartphone deals. Your choice of plan. Learn how to get the new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus with Galaxy AI on us with eligible trade-in. AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Offers vary by device. Subject to change. S24 plus 256GB offer available for a limited time. Terms and restrictions apply. See att.com/Samsung for details.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday Savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus Leaf Blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. At Navy Federal, it's been the mission to help the military community for over 90 years. And not just help them, but do everything to make sure they not only grow, but flourish. That's why Navy Federal Credit Union has all kinds of great savings and investment options, like share certificates with sky-high rates. So don't hesitate. Start growing your finances today with a variety of savings and investment options. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Savings products insured by NCUA. Investment products are not insured, not obligations of Navy Federal and may lose value.
And we continue here with Our American Story. Since being released in 1983, Francis Ford Coppola's film adaptation of S.E. Hinton's coming-of-age novel The Outsiders has found continued popularity and has achieved official cult status. And now, in what is surely one of the most interesting pop culture intersections, hip-hop artist Danny Boy O'Connor from the rap group House of Pain, best known for their iconic 1992 anthem Jump Around, purchased the Tulsa, Oklahoma home where much of the Outsiders film was shot. Here to tell the story is the man himself. Here's Danny Boy.
My story really begins Los Angeles, California, 1983, when I went unknowingly to a movie that I had never heard of, Woodland Hills, California, called The Outsiders with my friend Steve Sikulski, who just happened to read the book. I believe I was in 7th grade, and so he was a fan of the book and he wanted to see the movie. He said, "Danny, you want to go see a movie with me?" And I thought, sure. Steve Sikulski, pretty cool junior high kid that I knew, so I figured, you know, if he likes it, it'll probably be something I like. But I had no idea what we were going to go see. I didn't have any frame of reference. And on that full Saturday afternoon, we went in and saw the movie, and I came out a changed man. And people ask me all the time, what was my fascination with The Outsiders? And the movie kind of hit me at a time where I definitely felt out of place in, you know, the San Fernando Valley in the 80s. Being a native New Yorker who was moved to California at the age of 6 and kind of always had like a strong connection to the East Coast. So Southern California in the 80s looked a lot different than New York City did. And I don't know, I just always felt, you know, separate and apart from, and I got that from the movie as well. And I grew up, my father went to prison when I was 2 months old. We moved in with my grandparents. My mother worked nights at the Chase Manhattan Bank. And so I never really had that foundation or that family, you know, support or love. And, you know, I carry that with me, even though, you know, I've had a pretty extraordinary life. That foundation from the beginning has always felt unstable. And so when I went to see The Outsiders, the first thing I noticed was that they were a fractured family, a broken family, and that despite that they stuck together and had each other's backs. And I felt at a 13 or 14 year old's mindset was that if I could just find that kind of friendship out in the world, that maybe I wouldn't feel so bad about my home life and the way we grew up. And so that was the original hook for me for that movie. That being said, Matt Dillon was the coolest dude on the planet at that time. The cast was incredible. whether it's Patrick Swayze, Ralph Macchio, Tom Cruise, Darren Dalton, C. Thomas Howell, Diane Lane, they were all, you know, this was the first time I was really seeing them. Actually, Leif Garrett was the big star in my mind, looking back, because he was a 70s star. And so really was the only notable name that I knew prior to The Outsiders then, Matt Dillon. But that being said, you know, the movie was the coolest thing I'd ever seen, and it stuck with me. I immediately went home and then dug out a denim jacket that I may have had from the 70s in New York, and adapted that Dallas Winston, Matt Dillon swagger for the next few years. But as fate would have it, I didn't really have much of a game plan coming out of high school. I dropped out in ninth grade. I hung out for the next 3 years at high school. Never really went in too much. Got in a little bit of trouble with the law. And during the time when most of my friends were graduating high school and heading off to college or embarking on a career, I had no idea what I was going to do. And so I reconnected with a high school friend who had a record out prior to me and him reconnecting, and we started a band called House of Pain. And at the time in hip hop, there wasn't anything on the landscape like it. We were really, you know, kind of the next wave of hip hop in the early 90s. But at that time, there wasn't really any hard white boys, and we were like Irish American tough white kids. And that was our shtick, and that our deal was is that, you know, we were the kind of like, you know, boom bap, punch you in your face type of hip hop that was missing, you know, as the 80s turned into the 90s and grunge was a thing. Hip hop needed to reinvent. So us and Cypress Hill were kind of like the next face of that in that moment. And so it was very successful with that, and sold a few million records and traveled all over the world and made $1 million. But and I like to say, what goes up must come down. And it wasn't only, you know, 5 years later that I was back to where I started, even less, because, you know, doing music for a living, especially as a creative director and an artist more than I am a musician, it kind of left me empty-handed when the career was done, or the music career was done in that moment. And I really had no other life skills. And I unfortunately turned to drugs to deal with that pain. So I spent the next, you know, 5 to 6 years high on methamphetamines and drinking around the clock. And it wasn't until about year 2000 that I got sober. I stayed sober for about 3.5 years. And, you know, first year was good. Second year, I started getting complacent and a little of my attitude started to come back and my expectations started to come back. At around 3 and 3.5 years, I decided to have a drink, and it was pretty much the worst decision I'd ever made. It took me one week to go back on drugs, and took me 3 years to make it back to the 12-step program. And it wasn't until 2005 that I was able to draw another sober breath. And in 2005 is when I began to put another group together called La Cosa Nostra, and it was on that fateful tour that brought me to Tulsa, Oklahoma. So when we got to Tulsa, Oklahoma, we were stuck here for 3 days. And when I say stuck, I mean stuck. But day two of the 3 days that we were here, we began to get extremely bored. And so I called down to the concierge desk in the lobby and asked them to call us a cab. They laughed. There was no such thing as cabs. They were able to wrangle us up a guy in a van that took about 1.5 hours to get to the hotel. And then when he got there, we asked him, can he take us on a proper tour of Tulsa, which he proceeded to say yes, and then took us to the Woodland Hills Mall. And I can assure you that didn't go over so well with a bunch of 40-year-olds going to a what was at that point pretty, you know, the mall was kind of shuttered as well. And so we went there for about 1 hour, and as we were heading back to downtown Tulsa, it occurred to me, Tulsa, Tulsa, Tulsa. Why does Tulsa sound familiar to me? And it was at that moment I had the epiphany, and I said, excuse me, driver. And he said, yes. I said, was The Outsiders filmed here? And he almost like locked up the brakes. He was like, turned around and he said, yes, absolutely. He says, why, do you know it? I said, I not only know it, I love it. Do you know where any of the filming locations are? And he said, I do know where the drive-in is. So we proceeded to drop off the rest of the group. I grabbed my road manager and said, you're coming with me. I grabbed my laptop. And at the time, even in 2009, there wasn't much on the internet to go on. And it's not like today. 2009, I looked up for locations for The Outsiders, and I found a Flickr account or two, and I found a site called Tulsa TV Memories, which had a few of the locations, and the addresses were given up. The address I was most interested in was The Outsider's house, which was not given on that website, but they did tell us where the drive-in was, and it did tell me where the park in the movie was, the Crutchfield neighborhood. And so we went to the drive-in, and I couldn't imagine that this thing was going to look anything like it did in the movie. But not only was it, it felt like it hadn't changed a bit, and my mind just started to just melt, really, because it looked exactly like it would have in 1982 when they were filming, and exactly like it did, you know, in the 60s when they were trying to describe it. So it was pretty good stuff. Anyway, so yeah, we got that driver to take us around Tulsa. We were able to find the drive-in. We were able to find Crutchfield Park, which was the park that Johnny stabs the Sosh in, and they have the confrontation with the Soshes in. And then by finding the park, I was able to find the house. And by finding the house, this is where the my life starts to take a different turn.
And when we come back, we'll continue with the story of Danny Boy O'Connor from the rap group House of Pain, his journey back into his life, the movie The Outsiders, filmed in this town, Tulsa, in Oklahoma. The rest of this story continues here on Our American Stories.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
And we continue here with Our American Stories and the story of Danny Boy O'Connor. And my goodness, what a story it's been so far. No father, a hole he's trying to fill because of that. Sees this movie, sees this character in The Outsiders, played by Matt Dillon, of all people. And the next thing you know, a little bit later, he's in a big hit band, House of Pain, and then drugs. And then one day there's a stop in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where The Outsiders was filmed. And the next thing you know, there he is in front of the house where that movie was filmed. Let's pick up where we last left off.
At the time, it was for sale for $40,000. I can assure you, you can't buy anything in Los Angeles, California with the word real attached to it for $40,000. I could not believe that this house, one, would be for sale, two, would be $40,000, and three, that nobody understood its true value as an American classic and a sacred hallowed grounds. That being said, I knew that I was in no position to buy a house in Tulsa, Oklahoma, living in Beverly Hills, California, and that I should just kind of take a photo and soak it all in while I was here, and keep it keep moving. So that's exactly what I did. I took a photo out front. We played Kane's Ballroom the next night, and I also found out that there was a hole in the wall that Sid Vicious had punched in 1978, when the Sex Pistols played Kane's Ballroom. And I put both of those photos on Facebook, which was pretty much a new thing as well. And the response I got was incredible. And in particular, everybody was fascinated with the outsiders and that the house was not only one still on Earth, but they couldn't believe that it was still on the Warner Brothers lot, which I had to correct a lot of people that it is, no, it is not on the Warner Brothers lot in Burbank. It is actually still here in North Tulsa. And I made sure I did not tell anybody that it was for sale because I didn't want anybody else buying it. Never again thinking that I would end up buying it 5 years later. But that's exactly what happened. So after finding the house, we kind of I realized that there's some real cool stuff across America. And so it really started here for me. But I started to urban explore. And I put a group together called the Delta Bravo Urban Exploration Team. And what that is it's a page I started on Facebook, and I put the outsider's house first, and I put a before and after photo, told people the basics, you know, the outsiders, 1982, here's the house that the Curtis brothers lived, here's the address, 731 North St. Louis Avenue, and here's a before and after photo, and I found a lot of support and made a lot of friends through this web page that we started. And I found that there was a lot of like-minded people all over the world, but here in particular in the U.S., that were at a certain age where they were like really looking back fondly on all of the pop culture locations and all of our collective history, which is really pop history. I mean, I was, if I'm honest, I was raised by a television set and the radio. I mean, this is where I got most of the stuff I was after, you know, as a kid. This is where all my information came from. So in 2009, I used the tour bus as my personal, like, pop culture location vehicle. And I figured if I'm going to be on this tour bus and everybody else is going to be, you know, doing their thing, I'm going to get highly caffeinated, walk around every city we go to, and I'm going to look for culturally relevant undiscovered locations. And so that was the birth of the Delta Bravo Urban Exploration Team. Again, it just was like a cool hobby that I could do in my sobriety that really cost me nothing. And it was like, I was also able to kind of like see all the undiscovered locations that I had always wanted to see, like where Mary Tyler Moore's house was in Minneapolis, where the Son of Sam was arrested in Brooklyn, and stuff like this. And because of the success of that on the internet, I got so much, you know, so many accolades and met so many cool people. We started to do it like we took it pretty serious for a while. We were actually getting courted by a lot of companies in Hollywood. They were trying to turn it into a television show. It never really kind of worked out television wise, but the group kept growing and growing. So we started to go on group trips. And meanwhile, I was still touring a lot. So I was going back and forth across the US. And year after year, a minimum of twice a year, but sometimes three or four times a year, I would come back, whether on purpose or not, to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I'd always make a mission or pilgrimage to see the outsider's house and mostly some of the other locations as well. And what I started to notice is that year after year, this house was starting to deteriorate and that the neighborhood was starting to fall apart and that the Habitat for Humanity was coming through here and they were clearing out a lot of these streets and these houses, building new houses. I always like to qualify that I am a fan of the Habitat for Humanities and what they do, in particular making low-income houses, you know, affordable to people who wouldn't be able to afford those. And that being said, I was worried that nobody recognized this house for really what it was, which was an American classic and a cinematic masterpiece, you know, part of a bigger, you know, picture. And so at year five is when I got here and started to get worried. I started to think, well, what if they tear this house down? And what if nobody recognizes that what this thing really represents and what it is? And it's on the fifth year when I started to ask myself the question, well, why don't you do something about it? And really, I have no expertise on any of this stuff. I was just a fan who couldn't imagine the world without the outsider's house. There was really never a plan or a blueprint or any of that. But what I did was meet a couple people here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They not only saw the vision that I had, that this should be some kind of like, one, it shouldn't ever be torn down. Two, maybe it could be restored and it could be somebody's house and we could put a little display or some homage to the movie that was filmed here in one of the rooms. And the idea just kept getting bigger and bigger. But what ends up happening is we end up getting the contact information for the owner, who her husband bought the house 5 years before I got here, and they basically did a quick fluff and buff in hopes to use it as a rental property. Unfortunately, her husband died. He gives it to her in the will, and her and her sister moved to Florida because they were not native to Tulsa, and they've had no reason to stay here once her husband was gone. I guess they were kind of like absentee landlords. I mean, they were trying their best to collect the rent, but the tenants weren't paying. They were 8 months behind in their rent. The house was in terrible condition. And so by the time I found her in 2009, she was ready to sell. We called her. She told us she wouldn't take a penny less than $20,000. My buddy made the call, so he said he wouldn't give her a penny more than $15,000, to which she accepted. And at that point, I thought, man, we robbed this lady. I mean, we bought an American treasure for $15,000. I mean, where on earth can you buy a house for $15,000, much less the house from the movie The Outsiders? So I buy the house for $15,000. I buy it sight unseen. I had never been in the house. I had peeked in it a few times. I had been on the outside of the outsider's house a few times, but never really knowing the true condition of the house, and also never understanding. When it comes to remodeling homes or anything that has anything to do with that, I have no idea what I'm doing. So this is not something that I would have been like predisposed to do, or something that would have been a likely thing for me to do. I was just a passionate fan who couldn't imagine, if they tore this house down, what the world would be like without it. And so I ended up giving the tenants, little by little, over a month to move them out, because again, they were 8 months behind in rent, and it cost me $4,800 to get them out. When I finally drove here a month later from California to see my new house, I ended up breaking in a back window because they did not leave me keys. And I realized that this was the worst mistake I had ever made.
And you just heard it from him. The biggest mistake he'd ever made, was it? Well, we're going to find out the rest of the story in a minute. But what a story it's been so far. He was raised on TV and a tour bus. And for $15,000, he thought he just bought a piece of the American dream and certainly an American treasure. What happens next? Danny Boy O'Connor's story continues here on Our American Stories.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
And we continue with Our American Stories and Danny Boy O'Connor's story. He had just laid down $15,000 on a house in Tulsa, Oklahoma, a house with The Outsiders, his favorite film, the film that had more influence on his life than any other. And we all have that film or that book or that song. Let's return to Danny Boy's story in Tulsa.
Clearly, the owner knew a lot better than I did the condition of the house. If there was any worry of me underpaying for this house. It was quickly erased when I got in here. I mean, this house was in shambles. The only thing this house needed was a brand new house, and it was in terrible condition. And then the fact was that it didn't look like it had been cleaned up in the last 100 years. They were hoarding in here, and it was in terrible condition, and I panicked. And at that point, I thought, well, basically, I just flushed $20,000 of my $28,000 life savings down the drain. I had no work in the foreseeable future for me. We weren't touring at that time. And so my next thought was like, look it, I'm going to ask for help. And I often say, you know, I'm a 6'6" alpha male. And it's hard to ask for help when people assume that you should be able to do this type of work. But the truth is, I don't know how to do this type of work. And it was very humbling, and I had to really humble myself to admit that I didn't know what I was doing, and I was in over my head, and that perhaps if there were a few other Outsiders fans on Earth like me, maybe they could help me find a way to turn this into a museum, to help pitch in, whether that was a gift in kind or some cash or whatever. And so we put a GoFundMe together and we started to raise a little money, and immediately the press got a hold of the story. And if I thought I was one of few Outsiders fans on this planet, it didn't take long for me to figure out that I was clearly wrong on that. I mean, immediately the city council showed up to the house, the mayor of Tulsa showed up at the house, the press came out of the woodworks, and it just kept growing and growing and growing. And before long, you know, here we were on our way to turning this thing into a museum. Now, at first, I want to tell you it was going to be a movie museum, because I had read the book, but it was only a few years prior that I read the book. But this book, again, it is an American classic. It was written by a 15-year-old girl here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, by the name of Susan Eloise Hinton. The book is 51 years old now. It has never been out of print. At the time when Susie got her publishing deal, they agreed with the publishers that it'd be best if nobody understood that she was a female, so they called her S.E. Hinton to be ambiguous with that. She was failing out of English when she wrote it and got a D+ in creative writing. And I think that's incredible, because the hope is there, you know, for everybody, that great things can happen despite maybe a few bad marks and a few classes. And really, the book is what brings most people to the house. People love the movie, without a doubt. And that movie, you know, basically launched the Brat Pack, which is all the actors we've mentioned before, you know, Tom Cruise, Patrick Swayze, Matt Dillon, Ralph Macchio, C. Thomas Howell, Diane Lane, directed by Francis Ford Coppola. The book seems to have way more of a draw, or is equal, if not bigger, draw than the movie. And that was a learning experience for me as well, because on an average day, people come by this house all the time to stop by, and it's usually, you know, a 50-year-old, a 40-year-old, two 17-year-olds, and a 12-year-old. And it's usually somebody's going to seventh grade and it's required reading. Their older brother and sister read it 5 years ago when they were in seventh grade. Their parents remember reading it when they got to junior high, and they also were there to see the movie or saw it on HBO when they were kids. And it's really the whole family tree that comes to enjoy this whole story, from the book to the movie. And now I'm told it's being turned into a Broadway musical, which is also incredible. So much stuff has transpired since that first day of me buying the house. But what ended up happening is that the whole community kind of just puts this thing on their back and runs with it. Plumbers came by and helped me plumb. Roofers roofed. Gardeners gardened. Tile layers tiled. And contractors contracted. And everybody just started to do what they could do. And it looked like, you know, people would say, hey, listen, on Sunday after my daughter's soccer practice, I can come by and work for 2 hours for free if you don't mind. And I was like, yeah, it would be fantastic. And so really, this is a communal project. You know, I get thanked everywhere I go around town and around Oklahoma for, you know, saving the Outsider's house. But I feel disingenuous by accepting that praise. And I always tell them, and I think they think I'm being, you know, humble or being, you know, coy or whatever. But the truth is that this thing happens because everybody pitched in and helped. And it was usually the people with the least to give given the most. That being said, we our number one supporter, cash-wise, is the author, S.E. Hinton herself. And Jack White also, you know, came by and told me he loved what we were doing and loved the book, loves the movie and loves Tulsa. And he got us over the hump. We were stuck at $45,000 on our GoFundMe and we were looking for $75,000. And he said, I want to give you $30,000 from last night's show and get you over the hump, which he did that. And it changed everything. I mean, we were what I thought would take 6 to 8 months to complete took us 3 years. 2 months ago, we finally were able to cut the ribbon. In between those last 3 years, we've done 3 events to support the house. We're both Ralph Macchio, C. Thomas Howell, Darren Dalton. All of them in the movie had come back 1 or 2 to 3 different times for 3 different events to support this. And really what I found out is this thing has become like a community center. And had a really good trickle-down effect. I mean, when I got here, the lawn was to my waist and trash all over the place. We cut the lawn, got it down to size. We removed all the debris. We cut down trees that had, you know, fallen in upon themselves. And we basically cleaned this house up so nice that everybody else in the neighborhood started to get the drift, and they started to clean their stuff up. And before long, it changed the face of the neighborhood as well. And so if you come here in North Tulsa on the corner of Independent and St. Louis, you'll definitely... you'll see what I'm talking about, and it's a sight to behold. There's a lot of there's just so many different layers to this thing. I would have been bored a long time ago if it was just a house from a movie. And as much as I love the film and love the book, there's so much more greater at work here. I love Tulsa, Oklahoma. I love that a 15-year-old girl wrote this while she was failing out of English and got a D+ in creative writing, was really going through a rough patch, and she wrote this masterpiece. And this masterpiece is different than all others because it literally is the book that starts the young adult category. It was the first time that a young adult ever wrote about being a young adult for young adults. And if I'm not mistaken, that is the most successful category of books now on the market. For me, it's changed my life. I spent the first, let's call it, first 45 years of my life trying to build my career and promote my brand and stay relevant in that way. And finally, it was a breath of fresh air to discover that this thing could use somebody to champion it. And instead of championing, you know, the fragments of my shattered career or whatever, you know, in music, that I was able to parlay all that experience that I thought was like of no use in the end and kind of pivot out and put it into Susie's legacy and in particular saving the Outsider's house. And by taking this on, it's opened my world to a whole bunch of other areas. We're looking to do weddings here. We bring school children through on the Monday through Friday, so schools will read this at 7th grade. They will go to the Circle Cinema, which was also a historic movie theater here that's 91 years old on the original Route 66, and it was also featured in the movie. They show that movie to those 7th graders, and then the 7th graders come here dressed as greasers and socs, and they get to experience the house, the museum, and I know that they get truly inspired because they don't have a lot of role models to look at and to say, hey, this person is from my school or my city or my town, and they've became successful, and they're legends. And make no mistake, S.E. Hinton is their, that's their legend, that's their mentor. They look and they go, this little girl did this here, and it gives them hope. And so for me, I found a whole new purpose here in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I live here now full time. I moved from Beverly Hills, and I've been here for 2 years, and it only gets better for me. This town has changed tremendously in the last 10 years for the better. There's a ton of cool things here between Route 66 and Kane's Ballroom and the Drillers Baseball Stadium where the Dodgers AA team plays. There's good food, good people, and affordable gas. What more can you want? And you can buy a beautiful home here for $150,000, which, tell me where else you can do that. So I'm Danny O'Connor. I'm the owner of the Outsider's House, but I am the executive director of the Outsider's House Museum. And this is my American story.
And what a story. Thanks to Danny Boy O'Connor for telling it. And thanks to Greg Hengler for putting this together. By the way, make sure to go to theoutsidershouse.com to learn more. Take a visit if you're driving across the Midwest. Stop in Tulsa. He took a stop in Tulsa, all right. and he called it his home. Danny Boy O'Connor's story of finding home. This is Our American Stories.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.